This is the Brant and Sherry Podcast.
People ask me a lot, Brant, are you kind of a dangerous guy? You know how things work in the world and you're kind of a survivalist? I'm like, yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. That's weird you ask, because I am.
Who's asking that?
I know all about like how to respond. If anything, I'm always thinking of possible scenarios.
Okay.
Like, what if aliens land right outside? Like, what do I do?
Okay.
Bam. I'm always thinking.
So you, just throughout the day, you're doing this.
I'm thinking. Okay, always like, what if this? What if that? I thought through it all. So I thought I would share this knowledge. We have this thing called survival school. And what'll happen is, if you're on the phone, I will give you a scenario, and you have 5 seconds to decide what to do.
Okay.
And I think it teaches not only the person on the phone, but everybody else listening, like, different survival skills.
From you. You're the one teaching us.
Yeah. I'm like the guys on TV that everybody likes. Those guys.
You're like them. Akin to that.
You can like me as well as you like them. So we will do survival school coming up. Colton is on the phone. And Colton, where are you from, man?
Shreveport, Louisiana.
Okay, let's say Colton's in Shreveport, Louisiana, and he's walking along a little pond there in Shreveport, right in the middle. Beautiful. Shreveport is gorgeous this time of year.
Do they have a pond, Colton?
We do have a few bodies of water.
Okay.
All right. So he's walking along one. It's beautiful. Oh, look, flamingos. They're beautiful. They're grazing there.
I've seen those here.
Uh-huh. They have, and then they're having some right along the edge of the pond. They're beautiful. There's about 400 of them, and they're just pink and beautiful, and Colton just takes it in, and then they notice you.
The flamingos notice
him. Uh-oh, and now they're attacking. All of them are attacking. It's a flamingo attack, and there's nothing you can do about it. 400 flamingos are now pecking you. Pecking, pecking. What do you do, Colton? You have 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3.
Run away?
Too late.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
No.
Man.
The actual answer is...
That's an embarrassing death.
Yeah, you can't. Actual answer is it's too late.
And
what? There's nothing you can do.
So?
If you have 400 flamingos attacking, you might as well just go peacefully.
Well, Colton. Why did we even do this?
Man.
Yeah. So this has been survival school.
But he couldn't. You're saying
he had
no chance of surviving.
No, the best thing to do is just to just go peacefully and just
okay.
Let it go. Don't struggle. Don't struggle, Colton. That was your mistake. So producer Sherry of this program wrote something on Facebook that a lot of people have responded to, and I can understand why, but can you kind of nutshell it?
Yeah, I was trying to give parents some encouragement if they have a kid that's wayward and seems to be doing everything opposite of what they've taught them, that I was that kid for a good period of my life, and that my mother just held on to what God said, which she felt like I was going to be. And she just believed God for me.
What do you mean, like, she believed God for you? I think I know what you mean, but, mm-hmm.
She believed that God had a purpose for my life, and she believed that the way I was acting was not the final say, that he had the final say. And so she just believed that it was going to be okay, that she had brought me up the right way. And even though it was painful to see me living the way I was living, she felt like, but it's going to turn around. She really did.
She wasn't racked with anxiety. She wasn't like, oh, no.
She wasn't racked with anxiety. I think she was hurt. I think that it pains a parent to watch their child basically killing themselves in the name of fun or partying.
Uh-huh.
But she believed, she never... doubted that it was going to be okay.
Huh.
Never did. And even when I doubted for myself, she never did.
Yeah, people should take mothering lessons. Not that people necessarily want them, but they could from your mom. From producer Sherry's mom.
She is she's a wonderful mother.
You tell me stories about stuff that you went through and things that she would say and do for you and your brother. I'm like, that's brilliant. It's not just brilliant, it's deeply wise. Like, here's a woman that's got more than her normal amount of wisdom.
I'm really blessed, and I do know that, to have her to look to, because she did do things. I mean, the way she raised me and my brother, basically a single mom. We had my dad there, but not active.
Yeah.
So she raised us by herself.
This is amazing. And all this to say, this is one of the most brilliant moms I've ever known.
Mm-hmm.
You still went through a phase where you were being what you would say was a jerk.
Yes.
And it lasted a while.
Yes.
So it wasn't for lack of wisdom on behalf of the mom. A lot of people think they failed as parents, but it's like, look, this person has a free will.
Yes.
You might have done a great job. You might be totally, but still, you were doing
I did.
Stuff.
That is a great point.
Thank you.
Even though you're talking about me. But it is a great point. I still went off, but my mother believed what the Bible said about if you bring up a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from
she
it.
She just felt like, I did my job.
Yeah.
And so now it's you.
Yes, that's how she felt.
Just brilliant. She's such a brilliant woman. Maybe you'll see this. There's a thing about a new book looks at claims about Jesus. He had a wife and two kids. There's absolutely no evidence for this. There's a guy from Duke, a scholar that they quote in here going, what are they talking about? There's no evidence, but they're like, we found a document that's 1,500 years old that says, okay, so it's 500 years after Jesus, one document from somebody. So what? What's so interesting about that, though, even though there's no like serious scholastic school of thought that looks at that and goes, yeah, that's probably valid. There's just Dan Brown from the Big Sellers from a few years ago and whatnot. There's actual thousands of manuscripts and documents and things written from a first-person standpoint, eyewitnesses of Jesus that claim that he rose from the dead. So I would hope that if we're going to put stock in one, somebody's note from 1,500 years ago, we go back even further at all the documentary evidence and go, this is amazing. I mean, let's really look at this as historians. We don't know for sure where Jesus' tomb was. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we always venerate people's graves, but this, unless he came back and there's no reason to venerate the grave anymore because he's not there. It's absolutely amazing. And there's lots more evidence about the things that he said about himself. But oh, we found this document from 1,500 years. How about go even centuries further back to the thousands of documents and examine those? Unless they threaten us, because if he actually bodily rose from the dead, he's God. So your friend was talking about this? You were talking with your friend?
That there are many ways to God.
Many ways.
Do I not believe that? That they thought Jesus was okay, but there has to be other ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood her intellectual argument, but then I said, but my intellectual problem with this whole thing is there's way too much blood. Calvary is way too much to do if you're going to have a whole bunch of other ways, too.
I never thought about that.
Like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get nailed to this cross, but go ahead and look at those other guys,
there's other options. Why would God do that? Either it's a complete sham or it's not.
Right. Jesus left it that we have to fully commit to him or fully walk away. You can't have him and other stuff because the cross interrupts that.
That's true. I think it's really hard because people will look at it and go, it's just so arrogant to make that claim, but you're right. And the other thing is, what if God is making a way to us? Wouldn't it be arrogant to say, no.
We have a way
to
you.
No, we figured it out. And that's really, I had never thought about it the way you just put it. That is so interesting. We were just talking about the idea that there are many ways to God. Jesus is just one of the options. It's almost like, and you brought up a great point, Sherry, but it's almost like we're making a way to God. Like he's in prison and we're trying to fight through the walls to get to him.
Right.
But that's not who God is. If he's God, he's getting to us.
Right.
So what if he makes a way through the wall to get to us because he's so good and we're imprisoned by ourselves? Wouldn't it be arrogant then to say, no, I'm not taking this direction because there's got to be more than one?
So what makes it so difficult for us to accept that it is pride?
I think it is. And I understand the allegation that it's arrogant to think that Jesus is the only way. A lot of people feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just caution and say, let's think about this. That's presuming it's us making our way to him.
Right.
But if he made a way to us and offered himself in a way that just blows religion apart, I mean, it's the best news ever about how he loves us. It would be a horrible mistake to say, no, that would be our arrogance, our cultural arrogance to go, no, we don't believe in that. Like, how about we just humble ourselves and go, thank you. I can't believe what I'm seeing here. It's in the news. There's a lobster that is selling for, guess how much? It's a lobster. I mean, the people want to eat the lobster.
Right.
Lobster's expensive. I've been to Red Lobster.
Which is the main authority on lobster.
I've never actually eaten a lobster in my life, honestly. But.
Neither have I, actually.
Really?
No.
Why?
I'm not a seafood person. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Well,
okay.
All right. Good. I haven't because they look like bugs to me.
It looks like one big
giant
bug.
I call them bugs of the sea, and I don't want to have them.
That's fair.
But I know a lot of people think they're delicious. Anyway, okay, how much do you think somebody would pay for a lobster?
I don't know, $30 maybe?
$96,000.
What?
For this? Yeah, because it's multicolored and it's really big.
But who cares about the color? You're cracking the shell to get into it, right?
I don't understand. Because I have been to Red Lobster, like I said, and that's more than...
Just slightly above what their menu price is.
Like if you added together the stuff, like all of us had at the table that day... With my family. Yeah. I can't remember if you were there or not.
Okay.
But it didn't add up to $96,000.
Okay.
Not even, no.
So you feel this may be a little high?
To me, it seems that way, but I'm not a seafood guy.
Okay,
but
neither
that
am
seems
I.
High.
So we don't know, really.
Yeah, Red Lobster, pricey, but not. So what you write? This is just a friend, and not to embarrass her. I mean, a lot of people would understand this, but it's your friend. She wrote what?
She wrote this. Actually, she used to be in my youth group a long time ago. She wrote, "After much research, consideration, and experimentation, I have decided that adulthood is not for me. Thank you for the opportunities." So she's had it with being an adult.
I get that. I understand it. I would say this. I like being an adult. I consider myself 2/3 adult, 1/3 kid.
Okay.
And it's important not to get that ratio messed up.
That's a nice mixture, though.
That's the mixture I want to go with. But mm-hmm. I think it is hard to be an adult if you still want the same things that you wanted as a kid.
Like?
If you just want freedom, you don't want responsibility by nature. But if you want responsibility and you see the poetry in that,
yeah,
it's wonderful to be an adult.
I like being an adult. I understand, you know, bills and things like that, those types of responsibilities that you didn't necessarily have to worry about when you were a kid.
Sure.
So that's all on you now.
Yeah, that's hard. But but you wouldn't want it any other way. I mean, I want things to matter. I want things I do to matter. When you're a kid, it's nice because you get the security of, you know, my parents will take care of everything, or my mom or dad, but no, I like it, as a matter of fact, and I will continue to be an adult. That is my plan.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Thank you. It's just something that I have decided, and also don't really have any choice for it, but I like it. It's hard to be a parent if you still want what you had as a kid. If you want freedom, you got a problem. But if you're a parent and you enjoy responsibility, and you're like, you know what, time for me to, it's okay to lose all of my autonomy to love, that's fine. You know what? Somebody told me, you never had any poetry in life without responsibility, without actually binding yourself to someone or something.
Mm-hmm.
It happens when you first have a kid. I struggled with this when I first got married.
Really?
Absolutely, because I was like, what about my autonomy, my ability to do whatever I want, whenever I want?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're struggling to keep that autonomy as a parent, you're going to be miserable.
Or as a spouse, you'll be miserable
too,
right?
You'll be miserable. You have to throw yourself over to it. You have to bind yourself to your new station in life. Just go, this is it. You can't chafe against it anymore. You have to embrace it. Yes, you have toddlers. Yes, this is a hard time of life. It really is. It's really hard, but that's part of the beauty of things. And in the end, that's how you experience poetry, is by sticking with something, having that responsibility, binding yourself to people, to causes, to things that are true and right.
And it's also how you grow up, isn't it?
It is how you grow up.
How you mature.
It's hard. Don't get me wrong, it's hard, but what's really hard is not throwing yourself into it and trying to keep that kid thing. I'm still a teenager. I still want to party, or I still want to whatever, or I still just want to play golf 6 days a week. Like, no, let it go. You're now a dad. You're now a mom. Enjoy it, and it's beautiful in its own way. It's just different. We were talking about being an adult and how it's kind of hard sometimes. We went camping one time when our kids were really little.
Okay.
I thought, this is going to be great. We borrowed somebody's pop-up camper thing.
And it was a family trip.
Last time we went camping.
You haven't been camping since? Why? What happened?
It was miserable.
What?
But I know why.
Okay.
You know, I have taken them on camping trips with like church groups since then.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking for an outdoor experience. I was looking for an experience with my wife.
Okay.
And then we'll have the kids along.
All right.
The kids, when they're that little, they dominate.
They're front and center.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was nothing but frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was always toddler care, baby care, instead of camping.
Okay.
Had I gone into it thinking, this is going to be a baby care weekend, we're just going to be doing this outside, I probably would have been all right.
So it was your expectations.
Yeah. My expectation was, I'm still going to get something out of camping like I used to, and I'm going to bring these toddlers along.
Okay.
That's a prescription for misery.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. When I realized, like going with the church group, taking little kids, like, this is for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just taking my kids on a trip for them.
Okay.
I had no expectations for me to get anything out of this. It worked out fine.
Wow, that is learning. That's adulthood. That's wisdom. That's learning to put others before yourself, priorities.
Yeah.
All of that.
And to adjust your expectations and reconcile yourself to your station in life. It's just a season. It's really hard having little kids. It's maybe the hardest time of life for me mm-hmm. and my wife. Mm-hmm. Really hard. But when you reconcile yourself to it, you know, this is the way it's going to be for a little while. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. It makes it so much better. It's just a lot of times just divesting yourself of yourself. And then you find out, wow, this is actually poetic and beautiful in its own way.
We have someone on the line that wants you to play the accordion.
Sweet.
At their wedding. His name is Dave.
Yes. Dave, when is your wedding?
It's November 19th of next year, 2015.
Of next year. Okay, good. I have time to get good.
Yes, you have time to get good.
Yes.
Is there...
You can come be our DJ.
Well, thank you. Is there a song that you would want Brant to play the accordion at your wedding? In specific?
Yes. Well, our song is God Gave Me You. That's kind of been our song. Since
that's a nice one. Dating. I was thinking of something different, but that's okay.
What were you thinking of?
I had Bon Jovi in mind, but we don't have to do what I had planned. I don't get this. I don't get how women think. I'll just be honest with you.
Okay.
This guy proposed in China to the woman of his dreams. Mm-hmm. He had friends there and everything.
Oh, that's nice.
He bought 99 iPhones and he put them in a big heart shape on the parking lot.
Okay.
And then they stood. He had her stand with him in the middle of the heart made out of 99 iPhones.
Yeah.
Proposed. She said no. What does it take?
What was her... Did they give a reason why she said no?
No, she said no. I don't understand. Like... If you don't want 99 iPhones and a heart, what is, I don't get it.
Well,
how many iPhones? Just say it. How many iPhones?
What?
A million?
Maybe the iPhones weren't the issue. Maybe it was the guy standing inside of those.
200 iPhones. Would that have been enough? I don't understand. You'd think he had enough iPhones, but he didn't. So you've probably heard this story, maybe called The Good Samaritan. I mean, a lot of people have heard that story. The hero in the story is a Samaritan. Think about this. This had to tick off the people around Jesus because Samaritans, not only were they looked down on racially, they were wrong about a bunch of stuff, like doctrine, like religious stuff. They were just plain wrong about it. And Jesus knew that. And the people around him knew that. And Jesus knew that the people around him knew that. But he picks a person who has a lot of wrong beliefs and makes them the star of a story that elevates loving people. And no wonder it upset people, because he's taking somebody... Again, they're not only victims of racism, but they knew that this guy was wrong. And why would Jesus pick somebody who was wrong about stuff to still say, this is what I'm looking for? He's after our hearts. I don't know how else to put that. He wants our hearts to love people. And without love, we can be right about everything and just be a bunch of noise. That's it. Yeah, I'm admitting it. I'm straight up baffled. I don't understand. I've never have understood how women think romantically.
Okay.
Never gotten it. This guy in China bought 99 iPhones, made a heart shape out of them on the ground.
Right.
And then proposed to his girlfriend in the middle of the heart of iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
And she said no.
She said no.
So I'm just scratching my head like, what does it take?
So what's holding you up on this story is the fact is... There were so many
iPhones.
How could she not say yes to that?
Should he have gotten a couple hundred? It cost him $82,000 to make this giant heart of iPhones, and she still said no.
Yeah.
That's a lot of iPhones.
Again, I would like to suggest to you that it's not so iPads. Much the heart.
iPads. He should have thought of iPads.
Oh, man.
Dude, think. Be married by now if he got iPads. A lot of radio shows will have people on it that are all hip and stuff. They know what's going on. They mm-hmm. are in the know.
Yeah, culturally.
Oh, yeah.
Pop culture.
Hey, mm-hmm. Taylor Swift this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoever that. Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And I don't know
mm-hmm.
what's going on.
True.
But I'm proud of it.
Okay,
because
good.
Because I know about other stuff.
Of course.
History.
Yeah.
But I just thought I'd go down the list of trending topics today on Twitter, and we'll see how you do as you're listening. Like, do you know what's going on?
Okay, let's hear.
Run Simple.
Run Simple.
No idea what that is.
Okay.
I don't even know what this means. Dapper Laughs?
Okay.
That's another trending topic. Dapper Laughs.
I don't even know what that is.
Murray FTW.
Okay.
Sergey Gonkar.
You don't know
these
who
are
that
all
is?
The trending. This
that
is the
that sounds
happening.
Like something you should know. The Sergey thing.
I can click on it.
Okay.
We'll see what it is.
Because you're big with the Russian history and
hockey
stuff.
Dude.
Oh,
that's why I know.
That's
if
the
it
issue.
Was if it was a Russian, you know, person in history, if it was Potemkin, I would know who that is.
Clearly.
But I don't know who this is. So if you were listening, you have no idea who these people are, we welcome you into our group.
We're all family.
We are family here of complete ignorance. It's so cool. Do you remember the A-Team?
Yes, I do.
That was a hypothetical question.
Oh, I'm
There's
sorry.
No way you do not remember the A-Team.
Some people may not.
Everybody's got their own gift in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
Super Friends, same thing.
Yeah.
I'm amazed by seeing how God does stuff. You may or may not know this if you're listening to the radio. I'm not actually paid to be a radio host, believe it or not. I mean, you may be like, good, because you don't deserve anything. That's fine. I actually am a missionary, more or less, with Cure International.
Mm-hmm.
We run hospitals around the world for kids who are with disabilities, and we tell their families about Jesus and stuff. So that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so cool to see people with different talents coming together. Chris Tomlin, who you hear a lot of his music on this radio station, he's now a part of our mission.
Nice.
He's not doing an endorsement. He doesn't get paid for it, but he just so believes in it. And he's like, what do I know about medicine? I know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can do is tell people because I'm on stage. There's a guy who works with us at Cure. I walk in his room. He's got math equations on the wall.
Okay.
He has framed blueprints on the wall. He's a self-identifying nerd.
Uh-huh.
All he cares about is the actual engineering of the buildings.
Okay.
But that's his expertise, is building hospitals.
Wow.
So you got one guy who plays guitar, doesn't know how to do surgery. Another guy who doesn't know how to do surgery, but he's a nerd.
Right.
You got somebody like me, mm-hmm. who just helps out as a writer. Mm-hmm. And you've got somebody who is, who's a surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's coming together with their different gifts. I just love seeing that.
That's the beauty of the body of Christ. That's the way it's supposed to be.
It's how it's supposed
We're
to be.
We're all not supposed to be the same thing, do
no.
the same thing.
And I love that about Chris Tomlin. He's like, okay, now I'm stepping out. I'm going to fix everything. I'm a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's totally as a servant.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, I got this. I can't do that. But you can do this. I can do that. And then the ultimate result, you see God's kingdom in action. Like you see a child at a Cure hospital getting healed. And the kid doesn't know about all these people. He doesn't care. He just knows he can walk now. It's because of Jesus. I love that.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Follow Brant on Twitter @BrantHanson and on the web @BrantHanson.com.